how the Lord handles this initial inside job of sin, because that's really what it is, will literally set the tone for the ages, including even today, right now. Okay, so what happens in Acts 5 will be used by the Spirit of God to send shockwaves through the early church, and those shockwaves will ripple all the way through history, and we will feel some of those shockwaves even today.
Hi, and welcome to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig, and joining me in our studio is Pastor Robbie Simons. He's our teacher in just a second. We were talking just a minute ago, Robbie, about how grateful we are for our listeners. Even though we can't see them, we love our listeners, right?
Yeah, I mean, you hear the stories, you know, in many different places, many different ways, and it just encourages me from so many different aspects and walks of life, and just, man, what a blessing. Hey, just we want to keep reminding you, we love to hear from you. Like our team, like we're with a lot of our team right now here at Live in the Light as we record this. And man, hearing from you is why we do it, to see that God is changing lives, transformation through his powerful truth. And so maybe, would you take a moment, like some of you, would you be considering even to send an email? You can phone us up and you can go on our website. We just love to hear and to be supported by you. Again, we just don't have any apologies to know that we're only able to do this because of your support. And so we know you believe in the truth just as we do. And man, the Lord needs to speak in our day. So thank you for being a blessing to Live in the Light. And again, let me say it one more time. We just love hearing from you. So when you do that, bless you. And praying God would be deeply encouraging you through grace and truth in his word. And so, Craig, as we go into his word now, Acts 5, it's a very sobering message. Ananias and Sapphira, but we're praying it'll be encouraging as well. So I guess without any further delay, we want to jump right in to our message for today.
Okay, just one slight delay, Robbie, to let them know how to reach out to us. It is liveinthelight.ca if you want to do that through the web, or if you want to phone us up, it's 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's LIGHT. All right, as Robbie said, an important, sobering message for us all today. Do not take sin lightly. Here's Pastor Robbie in Acts chapter 5 with today's message.
Let's get our Bibles open to Acts chapter 5, please. Acts chapter 5. I'm not sure exactly how this morning is going to go, but I honestly am praying that it's going to be a little bit heavy. It's a heavy passage, and I think that the Lord really uses messages like this. I'm personally inclined towards passages like this. I really believe that the role of the prophetic within the church in terms of the refinement and renewal that is found, I just know from my own experience and my own sinful life that the times when I'm most refined or rebuked by the Lord brings the greatest renewal and restoration in Christ. So I don't know what he's going to do today, but I just know in light of where we're going with Ananias and Sapphira and the reality of what took place in that church and how God used it, I'm praying right from the start there'd be an openness from you and from me to say, Lord, whatever you want to do. That's a scary prayer to pray, but I pray that God would use it in a powerful way. So the book of Acts, our second act, we're in the church of Post. That's the title of our second act as we've divided up the book of Acts. And let's be aware of what we've seen so far in these early chapters, okay? So when we're looking at the opposition coming against the church, we've seen in the chapters, especially chapter 4 and now going to chapter 5, we've seen the church opposed from the outside, right? We had the religious leaders attacking through jealousy and envy. They're attacking the teachings and of Jesus Christ and the church. But you have to understand this, and we should know this as well. When that fails, when the opposition from the outside fails, Satan doubles down, and then he tries to attack the church from the inside, okay? And that's precisely what happens today and has been happening throughout history. There's attacks from the outside, and then probably most dangerous are the attacks that come from the inside of the church. So Acts 5 now becomes a very pivotal time for the early church. And really, with the dawning of the opposition from the inside of the church for the first time in this way, this becomes a monumental time now for the voice of God. And I wonder if that makes sense to you. Some of you, I need you to explain more. Well, hear it this way. How the Lord handles this initial inside job of sin, because that's really what it is, will literally set the tone for the ages, including even today, right now. Okay, so what happens in Acts 5 will be used by the Spirit of God to send shockwaves through the early church, and those shockwaves will ripple all the way through history, and we will feel some of those shockwaves even today. So when I played football, and particularly in university, it was a very, very long time ago, and man, I feel old in these days, okay? But when I played university football, the whole idea, I played defense, and the whole idea was to set the tone as early as possible. Now, our coaches were adamant, when you get on the field, don't wait till the second quarter to wake up. Get on the field, set the tone early, let the other team know how it's going to go. One of the phrases used in football is get on the field and punch them in the mouth, okay? So it's a boxing metaphor. Boxer's sitting there ready to fight. All of a sudden, he thinks he's got this. He gets punched in the face and he's like, man, this is a whole different story. You're setting the tone for how it's going to go. That was a very big deal when you played football, especially defensively. Get out there, punch them in the mouth, so to speak. Let them know how the rest of the game is going to go. Sober them up to the reality of what they're facing against. This is exactly what the Holy Spirit does today in Acts chapter 5. This is how the Holy Spirit deals with inside opposition. I mean, he punches it right in the mouth. Actually, to be more accurate, instead of punching them in the mouth, the Holy Spirit, honestly, strikes them dead. I mean, just think about that. Like this is literally what takes place in our text today. When it comes to the inside opposition and the sinful tendencies rising up for the first time, the Holy Spirit strikes people dead. So my advice today from this passage as we begin, and my advice wherever you are right now, and I'm trying to take this personally big time myself, and our thesis today, our sermon title today really says it all. It's this: do not take sin lightly. Do not take sin lightly. Let's read our passage. I want to read it somewhat slowly. First, 11 verses of Acts 5, and then we're going to unpack it together. But Lord, would you use this right now in Holy Spirit? Just help us to hear and see and to feel. So, Acts 5:1. But a man, notice the contrast, but is worse with verse 37 and Barnabas and his offering. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? After it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it then that you've contrived this deed in your heart? You have, notice, you have not lied to man, but to God. That is key. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young man rose up and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Wow. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen to this. Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And then verse 11, and great fear came upon the whole church, and upon all who heard of these things. I just want to take a moment to pray. Father, very, very serious passage and a very, very serious tone you are setting in the early church. And I pray that seriousness will be felt among us right now, Lord. I do not know all that's represented here, but you know precisely in the midst of this day, in the midst of this weather, in the midst of this service, right now, this time, sovereignly appointed to hear from the word of God and to know what the Holy Spirit of God would say to us today too. I pray that right now this message would be a combination of tremendous attention, tremendous, again, seriousness of our sin, but also tremendous awareness of the grace that is found in Jesus Christ. This message ends with the Lord's Supper, so wonderful, so perfect. I pray you would lead us to that moment of great sober-mindedness, of great awareness, of great self-awareness, and again, of great intention of serving you with the life that we have, with the time that we have, for the reason of your glory. Help us, Lord, now. It is so obvious how much we need you and how much I need you. And I thank you for speaking in my life this week. And I pray you'll continue to do that even as I preach now. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So what do we learn from this text on the seriousness of sin here? What do we learn from this text? Three main things. Number one, I want you to notice this first, the reaction. I want you to notice the reaction. Lives are taken. Okay, the reaction to the seriousness of sin coming from the inside within the church, lives are taken. Now, when you look at point one or hear point one, it kind of sounds so extreme. I mean, sin enters the church and people die. And yet that's exactly what takes place. And so right away, just at church, loved ones here at Hope, as we read Acts 5, I want you to think of the message that God is sending. It's so important to be in the verse, but then to step back in the passage and in light of the book of Acts and to see it from a distance to say, look at the message that God is sending to his early church that is unmistakable. I always got to remind myself that in Acts chapter 5, this is not the Old Testament, Old Covenant, a system of law. This is not where we are now. This is the New Testament, New Covenant under grace. And yet look at the seriousness by which the Lord treats the seeping of sin into the heart of his church. Let's examine further here. What kind of sin got such a reaction from the Lord? We'll look at verse 2 again. And with his wife's knowledge, he, Ananias, kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, let's remember again, the example of Barnabas precedes our text. So Barnabas, we read in verses 36 and 37 of chapter 4, Barnabas sells a field and gives all of the proceeds to the church. He lays it at the apostles' feet. And so what we have to believe from Acts 5 here is Ananias and Sapphira, they see the example of Barnabas, and they probably in some ways are kind of envious of the attention he's getting or the admiration he might be receiving or inspired in some ways by, wow, look at how generous he is. Look how spiritual now Barnabas is being seen. And in some form, in some way, Ananias and Sapphira, we want to look like that. We want the same attention. We want the same recognition. We want to be seen as spiritual as Barnabas. But the problem was in their desire to be spiritual, their hearts were tremendously polluted. They wanted to be seen in a certain light, but they really didn't want to live the life that it takes to get there. Their offering was tainted, as we're going to see. Now, let's be super clear as we come to this text too. Ananias and Sapphira were not obligated in any form either to sell or to give of their property and the proceeds. It was 100% voluntary what they were doing. That's found in verse 4. In verse 4, Peter says to them, I mean, when you had your property, was it not your own? And when you sold it, was it not at your disposal? No one's requiring you to do this, Ananias and Sapphira. This was absolutely voluntary on their behalf. However, what they did do is they agreed together to sell their property to claim. Here's the sin. They claimed to give all of the proceeds, but in actuality, they held some back. So they wanted the appearance of being super spiritual, but in reality, what was happening is they were being spiritually fraudulent. If you look at verse 8 here, Peter asks Sapphira, and he says, did you sell the land for so much? And she says, yes, so much. Do you see what she's doing there? What she's doing is, did you sell the land for $1,000? Yes, we sold our property for $1,000, but in reality, they sold it for $2,000. Or whatever the number was, right? We sold it for this because we want to be seen. We're giving it all, but in reality, we're keeping a bunch for ourselves to look spiritual, but actually we're lying and we're fraudulent and sin is seeping in to the early church. So So what kind of sin is this exactly? This is the sin of hypocrisy. It's the sin of deception. It's the sin of lying. All those three things are happening within this sin. It's important to know that Jesus saved his greatest rebuke for hypocrites. In Matthew chapter 23 to the Pharisees, he says, "You hypocrites, you clean the outside of the cup, but the inside is full of greed and self-indulgence." Think of how much that applies to Acts 5 in our text today. People who want to look a certain way on the outside, presenting some facade, but on the inside, there's corruption. There's deception. There's a disingenuous approach. It's not real. They're fraudulent. Think of how seriously God takes this sin. Hypocrisy is grievous to God. Why? Listen. Because it's deliberate deception. Here's a really good quote on this from Bruce Hurd. He says this: "Hypocrisy is one of the sins that God hates above all others." Why? Because a hypocrite has God on his tongue and the world on his heart. That's good. And let's just pause on that for a second right now. Is there any area of our lives right now where that is true? A hypocrite has God on his tongue, but the world on his heart. Jesus says, "You honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me." A hypocrite in scripture is really the basis for this. Behind this word is a stage actor, someone playing a part. It could mean someone wearing a mask, not genuine, not real. Listen to this. This is important. A hypocrite is found when reputation is more important than character. I'll say it again. A hypocrite is found, and this has killed the church for centuries, when reputation is more important than character. Now, let's think of some of the theology and I was gaining a lot of insight this week in my study here too, okay? Why was this so important to the church? If you think of the old covenant system, the purity and the rules surrounding the temple of the Lord and the Holy of Holies. People died when they blasphemed or sinned against the Lord in the center of his holiness, in the temple and the Holy of Holies specifically. Lives were taken as a result. Now you transfer new covenant. Now you go into this age of grace. And what happens is the Holy of Holies is no longer in the temple. The temple has been fulfilled in the church. The people of God are temples of the Holy Spirit, which represent the church. Here you have a sin creeping into the temple of the Holy Spirit, the church. Here you have attack on the purity of the church itself. And the way that the Lord sees his temple in the old covenant is the way the Lord sees his temple in the church in the new covenant, but the temple happens to be the church itself now and the people who constitute that. So that's why you have a lie, not against man, but a lie against God, because it's a lie against his church. And the purity of the church is so important to the Lord. And that's true even today. This is why this is taking place. He takes this so seriously. And I wonder if even right now the Holy Spirit is peeling back some layers on our heart in certain ways as only he can. And I'm praying the Holy Spirit, starting with me, would create conviction and cultivate a conscience that is feeling and seeing what the Lord wants us to see and hear. Remember, our passage today tells us how seriously God takes the sin of hypocrisy and deception and lying. I thought of a Proverbs 6, the six things or seven things the Lord hates and then detests. Two of these, it says the Lord hates a lying tongue. The Lord hates a lying tongue. And then further on in the same section of the things that God hates, he says, "I hate a false witness and those who breathe out lies." I was reading yesterday in Proverbs chapter 30, And the writer says, "Two things I ask of you, God." Two things he says he asked for: "Remove from me lying and falsehood." And then the second thing he asked for: "And give me neither poverty nor riches, that I may follow you." How does that relate to Ananias and Sapphira and their situation? Remove from me falsehood and remove from me greed and the desire to accumulate. Give me neither poverty nor riches, that I may not steal and that I may not be overfed, that I no longer desire you, O God. A lot of wisdom there. Who's that for today? And notice in our text today as well, notice a couple of massive insights here. Number one, notice this lie was incited by Satan. Look at verse three. Look at verse three. Ananias, why has Satan, what do we learn about Satan here? A lot. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Let's be mindful of how Satan works. How often has Satan destroyed the church from the inside, ruined a local church from the inside? Notice the contrast here in the book of Acts. We have heard over and over again, they were filled with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. Now notice the contrast, Ananias and Sapphira, why has Satan filled your heart? Instead of being filled by the Spirit, they are filled with Satan. Their hearts are filled with the lies of Satan. And think of the devastating directions that those things will go. Filled with God's Spirit, and your heart has been filled with Satan to lie and to be filled with deception. What a massive difference this is. You know, I think about this too. There are always people in our midst lurking about with evil intentions. And they could be here right now. I do not know. But from the moment this church began, there have always been people lurking about with evil intentions, not filled with the Spirit, but filled with Satan. That's just a reality. You know, my prayer right now is, Lord, you will shine your light upon this place. You will shine your light upon every heart in this room right now. You will shine and you will protect us from those who come in as wolves, seeking to devour the sheep and seeking to be instruments of Satan and even disguised as angels of light, the text says. God, shine your light. And anyone who's here with some kind of evil desire to destroy and distract and disrupt and to deceive, God, give us enough wisdom and discernment to see what it is, and you would create a great brokenness and a great reality and seriousness of our own sinfulness, that we would operate from a foundation of, God, have mercy upon me, as opposed to some proud posture of positioning ourselves of some kind of usefulness to God. God exalts the humble. He opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble, and he stands against the proud. This lie was incited by Satan. Again, Satan is the great accuser. Satan is the father of lies. And notice, secondly, still under point one, but notice this, this lie was against the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 3, verse 4, verse 8. I'll give you time to look. Look at verse 3, verse 4, verse 8. Three times Peter says this sin was directly against the Holy Spirit. See that? That's why this is such a serious deal, as we explained already. Three times. Why have you lied against the Spirit? Why have you tested Spirit? Why have you lied not to men, but to God, it says. Wow. Wow. I mean, who's taking personal offense at this? The Holy Spirit is. It reminds me of David, I against you and you only have I sinned, O God. I mean, you want to talk about grieving the Holy Spirit of God? Like, church, listen up. This is so important. Men, women, children. You want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, then you play the part of a hypocrite. You want to grieve the Spirit of God within your life? Like, you want the answers as to why you feel nothing and why there's no passion and why there's just seemed like such a distance from God. I don't know, in every case, I'm just saying, if this is happening in our lives, man, you better believe we will grieve the Holy Spirit as fast as anything else we can do. Hypocrisy, deception, and lying. Fraudulent lives, fake lives. It kills and quenches the power of the Spirit within our lives, just as it did with Ananias and Sapphira. It's the man currently having an affair on his wife, but is sitting here possibly even now pretending everything's right. You are playing a massively dangerous game. Can I say it with any more seriousness of what right now you are involved in? And I bet you there are situations right here, right now, where that's a realistic example right now. And you somehow think that you can pretend everything's okay here and you're completely living a life of deception over here. I'm telling you, man, by the grace and the warning and the mercy of God, I'm telling you, God is sending you a warning right now. Repent as fast as you can. It will not end well. It never does. How about the woman who deeply desires to be seen in spiritual superiority or spiritual maturity? And yet your own pride prevents your weakness. The pride does not ever let you, allow you to admit your weakness or admit your frailty or admit your sin because you're so concerned with being seen in a certain light and having the right spiritual answers and always being the mentor, never being the mentee. Our pride deceives us. The teenager who has learned to give all the right answers and look the part. Christianese is their second language. But if I tapped into your social media, heard your conversations, your true heart would be revealed in like that. The young adult who seeks to exhort others in truth. But even last night, you were dabbling in deep darkness. These are lives of tremendous insincerity that must be taken so seriously. How about the pastor who tries to live up to the people's expectations in the process becomes inauthentic? I always remember what Paul said, Matt, Paul Tripp said, I never forget this. Paul Tripp says, I think he writes in his book, and he said to me personally, when people come up to him, he's a fantastic speaker, author, lots of admiration. People come up and basically like, oh, you're amazing, and whatever, and I'm so happy, I think you're the best and stuff. He's like, he says this to them in their face sometimes. He says, listen, if you really knew me, you wouldn't say that about me. And I was like, man, that's so good. You know, people with good intentions, sometimes what we do is we see someone at the front and we make them into our own image. And it's an image the person can never, ever live up to. I always say this to you many, many times. I say, any pastor who stands up here and presents an image of having it all together, that pastor is a spiritual fraud. No one has it all together. No one is without sin. I mean, if you ever get the impression that I'm giving you that in the case of this church, that I'm not, how many times they say, people come up and I get it. They want to encourage. I'm so thankful for the encouragement. We need it. We need to encourage one another. I get that. But in the end, man, let us know we are just sinners together seeking the sufficient Savior. Amen? I mean, all of us sinners together. Trust me, man, the sin of my heart as recently as yesterday grieves me. Grieves me. I resonate with Paul, wretched man that I am. So important. Yet the temptation isn't the temptation to be seen in a certain light and the fear of being actually real before others. I want to be honest too here at Hope Bible Church. Let's be honest. We are in a very spiritually intense environment. Wouldn't you agree? A very spiritually intense. I mean, even this message today, I mean, this is exactly what we're doing. I mean, you don't hear messages like this a lot in the church these days. It's a spiritually intense environment, which I absolutely love. But listen, we must fight within that for authenticity because the temptation is to look a certain way when it's not real in our lives. That's the danger. So let me just summarize this. We pursue holiness, absolutely, but in humility. We seek his strength, absolutely, in our weakness. We want to grow in Christ, yes, grow in Christ. At the same time, we groan in our sin.
If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.